Good morning. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the BPER Group consolidated results as at the 30th of June 2026 and Acceleration Beyond B Dynamic Full Value 2027 presentation. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Nicola Sponghi, Head of Investor Relations of BPER. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you and good morning, everyone. I'm pleased to welcome all of you to BPER's conference call, where our top management is going to present BPER's Q2 and H1 2026 consolidated results and an update on B-Dynamic's projection for 2028. Before I leave the stage to BPER CEO Gianni Franco Papa, a couple of important points. Please note that today's data set and the press release can be found on BPER's corporate website. I would also advise you to take note of the disclaimer on slide 1 of the presentation document. After the presentation, the CEO will be joined by CFO, COO, and CRO to address any questions that might arise. I will reiterate that this is reserved for financial analysts, whom I will kindly request to ask a maximum of 2 questions each, so that everyone will have the opportunity to contribute to today's call. Thank you very much. I will now leave the stage to Mr. Papa, CEO of BPER.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to welcome you all to our event in which we present our first half results and an update on B-Dynamic projection for 2028 on the basis of the current perimeter. As you recall, back in 2024, we set ambitious targets for ourselves. We are over-delivering on such targets, while in parallel, we have completed the integration of BPSO. That said, today, we stand on a broader and even more solid platform, ready to capture our full potential through a selected number of additional initiatives. I look forward to meeting with you personally to illustrate the details of this strategic update. Let's move to the next slide. I'm proud to say that today, at approximately halfway into our plan, we are beating our ambitious targets set in 2024. I must thank all our colleagues, customers, and partners because, altogether, we have been able to over-deliver on B-Dynamic, and this has been recognized also by the achievement of Italy Best Bank Award by Euromoney. First half 2026 is the best half ever in the history of the bank, with over 1.3 billion euros of adjusted net profit, representing an almost 15% year-on-year growth. The operating and financial performance continues to remain strong, as you will appreciate later in the presentation. Thanks to the business combination with BPSO, we have created a platform which is ready for enhanced top and bottom line growth. Our investment in technology, talents, and capabilities, along with our strong capital position us to leverage our operating platform and capture organic and inorganic growth opportunities. On top of the ongoing business acceleration, we are raising our ambitions through a number of selected strategic levers, which I will walk you through later in the presentation. As a consequence, this will lead to accelerated performance and sustained value creation, which will enable an increasing and very attractive shareholder remuneration in terms of both cash dividends and share buybacks. Let's take a couple of minutes to review our historical performance since the launch of B-Dynamic. The net income line trajectory has been remarkable. Despite this significant growth, the cost of risk remained at extremely low levels, and operational efficiency continued to improve. As you have seen, throughout the plan, we have demonstrated a remarkable internal capital generation, totaling 3.6 billion euros since B-Dynamic was launched. The outstanding operating and financial performance has attracted strong capital inflows from active and passive funds, which allows BPER market capitalization to increase from 4.4 billion euros to over 29 billion euros at the end of July. Furthermore, if we add dividend payments to the calculation, shareholders have benefited from an important upswing in total shareholder remuneration, reaching more than 460% since the beginning of 2024, significantly better than any other Italian and European peer, above 20 billion euros in market cap. Let's turn over to our tangible results of BPER dynamic to date. As you can see on the left side of part of the slide, a remarkable profit-driven internal capital generation allowed for an outstanding shareholder remuneration since the launch of BPER dynamic. Cumulative distributions between 2025 and first half 2026 amount to over 3.1 billion euros. This is an outstanding achievement, given that during 2025 and 2026, we've been very busy in successfully completing the integration of BPSO. As you are aware, we have been working together with our colleagues of BPSO in order to set up and integrate the new operating platform aimed at capturing, in a very short time period, 290 million euros of annual cost and revenue synergies. By end 2026, we will have achieved over 25% of total synergies, and we expect to fully reach our target by 2027. That said, we expect further synergy potential in 2028 and beyond. As you can see, we have migrated almost 1 million clients to BPER's platform in approximately 7 months. In a similar way, we're focused on upskilling actions to onboard 3,500 colleagues on our service model. Finally, our new operational procedures will render the bank leaner, swifter, and more efficient. Let's move to the next page, which focuses on our operating achievements. This slide represents our progression since the launch of BPER dynamic and our achievements in 2025 as BPER standalone. Notably, in the first 12 months of the three-year plan, we are well ahead of our ambitious targets. Let me add that these remarkable results have further accelerated in the first half of 2026. On our first pillar, unleash our clients' full value, which focuses on capital-light commission income, we registered an outstanding performance. In the first year, commissions already grew by 5%, well on track to achieve the 12% target by the end of 2027. In the context of our second pillar, capture our latent economies of scale, which focuses on achieving a best-in-class operational efficiency, the bank decreased operating costs by 5.2%, already very close to the 7% reduction target by the end of 2027. On our third pillar, leverage our strong balance sheet. Today, our CET1 ratio remains well above our target of 14.5%, despite the acquisition of BPSO, and is among the highest in the Italian banking system. Finally, the last pillar, which focuses on completing the modernization of the bank, has allowed us to make significant progress in terms of technology, ESG, and sustainability, as well as organization and people. To modernize our technology, since the start of BPER dynamic, we have already invested 230 million euros of the 650 million plan, totaling almost 1 billion euros since 2022. ESG and sustainability remain a must for us. We are determined to remain leading pioneers in this area, and we have materially improved our position on ESG ratings. Finally, we have made clear progress in upskilling our colleagues. In this context, we have empowered 21% of our colleagues with our academies. As I mentioned earlier, ladies and gentlemen, despite current geopolitical risk, macroeconomic headwinds, and accomplishing a swift integration of BPSO, this first half and second quarter have been the best ever. Before I start giving you details of our financial performance, I'm keen to highlight a number of key features of this remarkable first half 2026 results. First and foremost, first half 2026 was our best ever six-month result, with an adjusted net profit standing at over 1.3 billion euros. The strong performance in NII and commissions resulted in reported total revenues of 3.9 billion euros, up 4.5% half-on-half. Excluding the positive impacts of the TRS, total revenues are up by 1.5%. In line with our plan, commissions continue to have a very positive run throughout the year, given the focus on AUM, life insurance, and bancassurance products. We have further strengthened our performance in wealth management, where commissions increased by more than 10% compared to the previous half in 2025. Our profitability remained high, with an adjusted return on tangible equity at a robust 20.6%, or 19.6% excluding the positive impact of the TRS. We maintain a very solid capital position with a CET1 ratio at 15%, resulting from an organic capital generation amounting to 163 basis points, equal to 1.3 billion euros in the last six months. Similarly, the liquidity profile of the new group is very sound, with short and long-term ratios increasing and well above regulatory thresholds. Finally, the quality of our loan book continues to stand at the best levels in the Italian banking industry, with a cost of risk of 28 basis points. Let's move on to the net profit drivers on slide number seven. The quality of our revenues remains outstanding, thanks to our very strong commercial performance. NII has proven to be very resilient, both half-on-half and quarter-on-quarter. I remind you that in Q1 and Q2, almost 1,000 employees were busy at work in supporting the integration. Despite the integration efforts, commissions between Q1 and Q2 were basically flat. As such, I'm extremely satisfied about the progress, which can be seen on a growth rate of almost 5% half-on-half. Costs have continued to come down, thanks to our focus on operational excellence, which we have identified as one of the key targets of B:Dynamic Full Value. LLPs increased by 3.3% half-on-half. In the quarter, LLPs were slightly higher due to a realignment of our credit framework post-integration. We will touch on this later in the presentation. As you can appreciate, our record first half and Q2 bottom line result was achieved gross and net of the positive effect of the TRS and other market effects. In the pages to come, we'll provide you with an in-depth review of each and every item. Let's move on to slide number eight, which touches on 2026 guidance. A quick glance at our guidance for the current year is important, as we have improved two KPIs. Given the current developments, we have bettered the outlook for 2026 on NII and cost-income ratio. Let's move to the next slide on first half 2026 results. Among the main drivers of total revenues in the quarter, I would highlight record NII and higher loan volumes, a good performance in commission income despite the integration process, as customary in Q2, a strong contribution of dividend income, and the strong contribution from the TRS and other market effects. As you can see, first half core revenues reached 3.6 billion euros. Finally, I would like to underline the continued solid trend in productivity with a net revenues to risk-weighted assets ratio, which increased from 8.7% to 9.5% between Q1 2025 and Q2 2026. Let's move on to the next slide, which focuses on net interest income. The performance of the net interest income line was exceptional in Q2, posting a record figure at over 1.1 billion euros, driven by positive commercial dynamics. As you can appreciate in the slide, the main driver in the quarter was volumes. Despite the integration, commercial actions to increase quality loan volumes have been extremely effective. Spreads slightly improved in the quarter. Finally, I would like to highlight that our NII sensitivity to 100 basis points movements amounted to approximately 200 million euros in the quarter versus 225 million euros in the previous quarter. Now, let's move to the development of net commission income on slide 11. The performance of commission income half on half progressed according to our plan at +4.8% and +5.9% year-on-year, reaching more than 1.35 billion despite the integration effort, which was carried out in second quarter 2026. The most important contributor, which represents more than 50% of commissions, are banking services fees, which almost reached 700 million euros. Wealth management fees, which increased by over 10% 6 months on 6 months, are rapidly playing a more important part as a percentage of total commissions. These were mainly driven by high-quality AUM fees. Fees from bancassurance continue to register strong growth rates, up by over 13% compared to first half 2025. This impressive pace in commission income growth results from one of our key pillars of B-Dynamic Full Value. As such, our commission income to total revenues ratio continues to improve. Excluding the effect of the TRS, the ratio has improved from 34.8% to 35.9% half on half. This is due to our persistent focus on capital light, high quality, non-interest income products. Let's move to the next slide, which focuses on the progression of total financial assets. In the quarter, total financial assets increased by over 13 billion euros to almost 425 billion euros, whilst year on year TFAs increased by 18 billion euros. It is important to note that the loan to deposit ratio stood at 77.6%, stable quarter on quarter. This will enable us to continue to grow the loan book and to transform client liquidity into AUCs and AUMs. Let's move to the evolution of costs on slide 13. We continue to be extremely determined on operational efficiency. Total costs were down by 3.9% half on half, further reducing the cost-income ratio from 45 to 41.4%. Please note that the cost-income ratio would stand at 42.6, excluding the TRS. HR costs increased by just over 1% half on half, while non-HR costs decreased by approximately 77 million euros. In terms of the combined group, total headcounts stood at 22,500, with a decrease of approximately 500 people, mainly related to the exit of temporary workforce hired to support BIP's integration in Q1 26. As a final note, the strong improvements on non-HR costs in the last 12 months is the result of our relentless focus on cost efficiencies. Let's move to slide 14. As you can see, The cost of risk was almost flat at 28 basis points, half on half, thanks to positive dynamics in asset quality. LLPs increased by almost 10 million euros in the quarter. This allowed us to increase the total NP coverage ratio from 52.8% to 54.1% in order to maintain a thorough control on the high quality of the loan portfolio, including an alignment of coverage framework post-integration. In this particular context, I would like to underline that in the last 18 months, we have increased the total NPE coverage ratio by almost 7 percentage points, from 47.3 to 54.1%. Needless to say that our coverage ratio remains one of the highest among Italian peers, and will act as a further buffer against any potential deterioration in asset quality. Last but not least, do note that following our alignment of coverage framework, our overlays in Q2 26 amount to 230 million euros, increasing by over 50 million euros quarter on quarter. Our conservative approach is further confirmed as we report on Q2 coverage ratio on performing loans at 0.6%. Once again, this ratio is among the highest in Italy. Let's move on to asset quality on the next slide. Asset quality continues to be outstanding, one of the best in the Italian banking system. Gross NPE stock was almost flat both quarter on quarter and year on year. Between Q1 and Q2 26, the increase of 100 million euros in bad loans was due to the complete realignment of our credit framework post-integration. Similarly, the net NPE ratio remained flat at 1.1%, underlining the very healthy state of our loan book. This further confirmed by an improvement of Stage 2 classifications, mostly due to the credit framework realignment post-integration. Let's move to page 16 to elaborate on our capital position. Post-integration, we stand at a very comfortable CET1 ratio of 15%. We maintain our path of generating quarter by quarter a substantial amount of internal capital, which allows us to be ready for potential headwinds, competitively strong, and financially prepared for any inorganic growth opportunities should they arise. It also allows us to be very forthcoming in terms of shareholder distributions. In this context, yesterday, the board agreed on a proposal to discuss at the next board meeting scheduled for Q3 results, the distribution of an interim dividend of approximately 700 million euros. This is an increase of approximately 500 million euros compared to 196 million euros paid in November 2026. Let's move to the next section. In the next section, we will illustrate our strengthened platform, the acceleration levers, and the improved projections for 28 and 2029. As you can see on slide 18, our position today has further improved. As already mentioned, this is also recognized by the achievement of Italy's Best Bank Award in 2026 by Euromoney. We are now one of the leading domestic players in Italy, with approximately 6 million clients, of which 5 million individuals and almost 1 million corporates. As one of the largest asset gatherers in Italy, we can now boast around 425 billion euros of total financial assets between life insurance, asset under management, asset under custody, and customer deposits. Thanks to the acquisition of BIPSO, we have strengthened significantly our presence in rich northern Italy. We are now the leading bank in Lombardy, Liguria, and Sardinia, and we rank second in Emilia-Romagna by number of branches. By clients, customers, financial assets, and banking branches, we are clearly positioned as the third bank in Italy. Let's move to the next slide, where we illustrate our fully functioning operating platform. As you can appreciate, the business combination has transformed the bank into a larger platform which is fully functioning and ready to scale thanks to four key features. First, we have a wider and pervasive network. If you recall, back in February 25, I stated that the new bank would reinforce and broaden the proximity client coverage model, becoming a go-to bank for families, SMEs, and corporates. Now, also thanks to the integration of BPSO, we have transformed BPER into a nationwide capillary platform that is mostly concentrated in the wealthiest Italian regions. We have distinctive product capabilities. On top of consumer and corporate loan services, we focus on wealth management, bank assurance products, global transaction banking services, and advisory services through our CIB unit. We have specialized service models to serve all our clients. Over time, our business model has increasingly become omnichannel, ensuring high quality service and improved access to all clients. We also have leading-edge digital and technology foundations. Our IT ecosystem is fully integrated and modernized. We are pioneering in AI-enabled software development. The substantial CapEx deployed in technology and AI provides us with a strong foundation for the future, supporting the acceleration of business growth and enabling the bank to be more efficient and more effective. This platform, created through a series of integrations, is now ready for further scale-up thanks to a proven playbook, a management team with strong execution capabilities, and a flexible and future-proof technical stack. Let's turn to slide 20. B-Dynamic execution is continuing at a very strong pace throughout our retail, corporate, and wealth management divisions with continued attention to all strategic pillars of the plan. Yet, the potential goes beyond the targets we had set. For example, in Lombardy, we boast a market share by branches of 17%, while we hold approximately a 10% market share by loans. Today, we are in a better position to capture a wider portion of this potential. In particular, we see five areas where our new platform offers opportunities for further acceleration. Let me walk you through them one by one. B-Champion. The integration of BPSO has made our corporate platform complete and competitive, and we are now ready to capture our fair share, focusing on Italy's mid-sized champions. In this context, we expect total lending to corporate clients between 2025 and 2028 to increase by 13%. B-Wealth. Our focus on capital-like commission growth will be further accelerated by leveraging the hidden value of our wealth management clients. We anticipate AUMs to increase by 18%, reaching approximately 125 billion euros in 2028. B. Insured. Along with our bank assurance partner, Unipol, we will be offering a wider product range and we will be serving our clients in an efficient and effective manner. We anticipate that net insurance commissions will increase by 55%, reaching 230 million euros in 2028. B Digital. We will unleash our digital Gen AI and AI power platform in order to increase productivity. As part of this strategic lever, we will also achieve significant cost reductions. We anticipate the cost-income ratio to reach approximately 40% in 2028. B Excellence. We are simplifying our approach to clients. The bank is optimizing front and back office function to increase client-facing time, enable higher proximity to our clients, and enhance productivity. Frontline time dedicated to commercial activities will increase by 30% by the end of 2028. Let's turn to lever number one, be champion. Let me remind you that we created our CIB division just over 2 years ago. Thereafter, we acquired BIPSO that has strong corporate capabilities. Today, we have a corporate platform which is complete and competitive, enabling us to scale our share of wallet. As you can see on this slide, we will be leveraging our strengthened network through a substantial amount of business centers, trade finance centers, and approximately 3,000 business specialists, mostly situated in the most productive, export-oriented Italian regions. The goal is to capture a higher share of wallet from this important client segment characterized by Italian champions within corporates and SMEs. On top of lending objectives, we are increasing the penetration and so the share of wallet of several products and services. In this context, we will be aligning with Italian best practice and strengthening the offer of GTB services, cash management offerings, and factoring. In addition, through our CIB unit, we will be increasing clients' penetration in terms of structured finance, corporate finance, and other advisory added value services. BPER will benefit from the combined effects of increasing the penetration of underserved and untapped clients of the former BIPSO network, along with leveraging BIPSO consolidated expertise in selected areas such as factoring and non-domestic banking services to widen the client offer as a go-to bank for our customers. Let's move on to the second lever. BWealth focuses on increasing products and client penetration of our wealth management division. This division has delivered results above our expectations over time, and it continues to grow. As mentioned in first half 2026, wealth management fees grew by 10.3%, half on half. Today, we have consolidated a platform that enables us to capture the hidden potential of our clients, including entrepreneurs. Our service model is centered around BPER Banca Private Cesare Ponti, which acts as a group wealth management hub. In this context, Arca SGR, which already holds over 50 billion euros in assets under management and about 1 million clients, will play a key role. The group is making significant investments in strengthening the private banking network and has set ambitious goals in terms of productivity. We are strengthening the private banking network by increasing the number of private banking centers and dedicated bankers. In this way, we will increase proximity and so frequency of contact with our existing and potential clients. We are focused on fully serving our hidden private clients with the potential of doubling the size of our current private customer base. We will do this by attracting new clients and increasing the share of wallet of existing ones, deepening our relationship with SMEs entrepreneurs. Finally, we will leverage our strategic presence in Luxembourg, Switzerland, and Monaco, where we expect important and tangible results. As you can appreciate on this slide, we are anticipating asset under management growth of 18%, reaching 125 billion euros in 2028. In a similar way, we expect wealth management commissions to grow by 14%, landing at 1.2 billion euros in 2028. Let's move to the next slide. Be Insured is based on our strong tie with our insurance partner Unipol, the largest Italian non-life insurer. Historically, bancassurance has been one of our distinctive strengths. The results we have delivered are exceptional, with net insurance commissions more than doubling since 2021. We believe we can do even more by delivering a few focused initiatives. The product offer will be broadened with new modular product solutions aimed at increasing client insurance penetration. We will grow our insurance commissions from €148 to €230 million, increasing by 55% by the end of 2028. Beyond the retail clients, the insurance offer will increasingly target private clients, SMEs, and corporates, where we expect a significant potential to deliver tailor-made insurance solutions. In this way, we will be able to increase net commission income and, in parallel, improve the credit rating of our clients. We will succeed thanks to a wider omni-channel access, combining 230 specialists, a new dedicated remote support unit, and a fully-fledged digital offer for basic products. Let's move to the next page to Be Digital, one of the key levers underpinning our acceleration. Our digital foundations are solid thanks to the investments carried out in recent years. As such, a new dedicated digital business unit has been recently created and is now in place to act as a transformation catalyst for the bank, ensuring an efficient cross-functional collaboration across businesses and technology. Building on these foundations, we have defined a selected number of new high-impact initiatives to capture the next frontier of digital and AI-powered productivity. Firstly, we are leveraging AI to support our relationship managers in client origination, improving the effectiveness of our commercial campaigns, and enhancing an omni-channel yet personalized approach on the basis of our customer needs. Secondly, we will deliver automated first-level controls, accelerate end-to-end digitalization of key processes, and automate central functions. This will enable a more efficient and more effective end-to-end product delivery. Lastly, we'll scale up the adoption of AI and agentic AI in our IT factory, covering the full software development lifecycle from requirements definition to coding and maintenance. In this way, we will be able to increase the overall productivity, enabling lower IT capex for the same level of outputs. In this context, cybersecurity threats are a high priority for us, and we plan to further strengthen our cybersecurity to protect our customers and operations. The size and frequency of cyber attacks is ever growing in the banking industry, and we need to be more than prepared. All in all, Be Digital will contribute to increase the productivity of our relationship managers by 15%, to secure €300 million of savings, and to enable a 20% increase in CapEx productivity. Overall, this will allow us to reach a 40% cost-income ratio by the end of 2028. Let's move to the fifth and last strategic levers. Be Excellence, our fifth lever, will enable us to create additional value, enhancing our client approach, increasing customer-facing time, and strengthening advisory value-added product and services. Our focus on customer excellence already delivers clear results with Be Dynamic. During 2025, on a BPER standalone perimeter, we have increased productivity by 10%. We have upskilled over 4,000 employees, and we kicked off a new talent program. Yet, we can do more. Thanks to new technologies, today, like never before, we have an unprecedented opportunity to bring the client even more at the center of what we do. We are reviewing roles and positions to make the network more efficient, streamlining support functions around our client service model. Our specialized workforce will be empowered with more available time, enhancing proactive client interactions and accountability. Upskilling our talent base will be key. Our colleagues will be supported by new digital tools. As such, it is important for us to enable our colleagues to maximize the utilization of AI tools to increase efficiency and productivity and to support them in the process. As a result, our clients will benefit from a higher proximity of our advisors. Let's move on to the next slide, in which we will lay out our macroeconomic assumptions. Given the ongoing geopolitical turmoil, and given that macroeconomic context is somewhat uncertain, we have based our 2028 projections on assumptions which we deem conservative, albeit realistic. Italian GDP growth is expected to remain basically flat in 2026 and 2027, with a pickup in 2028 at 0.7%. On the other hand, EU inflation is expected to decrease from 3.3% to 1.9% in 2028. Finally, we have taken a conservative approach with interest rates, assuming Euribor 3 months flat at 2.25% for the full 3-year period. That said, we look to the next couple of years with some caution given the potential headwinds deriving from the current global situation. As you can see on this slide, we expect total revenues to reach approximately 8 billion euros by the end of 2028. On top of the positive effects of volumes and rates on NII, we expect continued progress on net commissions. As such, revenues will increase by approximately 600 million euros, the main contributor being net commission income, underlining our strong focus on high quality capital-light revenues. In this context, it is important to know that the ratio of net commissions to total revenues will grow from 35% to 38% by 2028. NII is expected to increase by 300 million euros thanks to the combination of higher volumes and higher rates. We expect customer loans to increase by some 9% by 2028, thanks to pervasive commercial actions focused on consumer finance and mortgages in retail and loans in corporate, where we plan to materially increase the share of wallet on the best counterparts. Please note that the phasing out effect of Ecobonus between 2025 and 2028 is expected to have a negative impact on NII of some 300 million euros. Let me repeat, is expected to have a negative impact on NII of some 300 million euros, so that you can appreciate better the increase in the revenues that we are projecting. Finally, net commissions are expected to increase by approximately 400 million euros, driven by a 55% growth in bancassurance and a 14% growth in wealth management by 2028. On the next page, we will focus on the key drivers of costs. Our obsession for a best-in-class operational efficiency will continue beyond the dynamic. Despite 200 million euros of inflation-related and D&A increase, we will reduce absolute costs by some 100 million euros while supporting the strong top-line growth. As a result, our cost-income ratio is expected to improve from 45% in 2025 to approximately 40% by end of 2028. We anticipate 300 million euros in cost savings, which are related to the full achievement of synergies from the BIPS integration, as well as to other initiatives such as end-to-end digitalization of key product journey, the automation of mid-back office activities, and the containment of other non-HR costs. FTE will decrease as a result of previous agreements and natural turnover. In this context, we are expecting over 220 exits in 2026. Furthermore, we expect mainly in the same year 800 additional exits as agreed in December 2025 with the unions. Let's move to the next page where we will outline our technology modernization effort. The size of our CapEx investments aimed at modernizing the bank's technology ecosystem between 2022 and 2025 amounted to approximately 1 billion euros. We invested in key areas. Among others, we modernized the bank technology ecosystem, we created distinctive digital channels. We digitalized transactions evolving towards cashless branches, and we deployed a full range of AI use cases with particular impact achieved in the IT factory. Going forward, we will focus our investments on the remaining areas that require to be modernized further. For example, automation of key processes to make entire end-to-end process swifter, more efficient, and hence more effective. Strengthening our corporate platform with the aim of improving customer targeting, anticipating customer needs, and delivering time-to-market solutions. And finally, elevating cybersecurity and IT resilience to the next level as a protection to the increasing number of cyber attacks in the banking industry. Overall, thanks to the investments made and the scale reached, we are now in the position to continue to invest significantly, €600 million over the next 3 years, while at the same time increasing our CapEx productivity by over 20% compared to 2025. We will now turn over to the main projections for 2028 and some for 2029. I would like to draw your attention to our 2028 projections. Total revenues will reach €8 billion. This will be positively impacted by the effect of higher NII by about €300 million and higher commissions for a total of €400 million. As a result, commissions on total revenues already today aligned to the best practices will further increase from 35 to 38%. Operating costs, excluding depreciation and amortization, our operating cost will materially decrease by almost 4%, bringing the cost-income ratio down to approximately 40% to 45%. We expect to improve our projection on cost of risk. We have, however, kept a conservative approach with an expected cost of risk below 35 basis points in light of the current geopolitical turmoil and the potential impact on the Italian economy. All in all, net income will increase from approximately €2.4 billion to about €2.7 billion. CET1 ratio will stand at above 14.5% despite a higher shareholder remuneration. This will enable us to have a strong capital buffer should macroeconomic conditions deteriorate, be prepared for potential business combinations should they arise, or evaluate higher shareholder remuneration if the conditions allow it. On the far right of the slide, a number of projections for 2029 have been included. These are limited to total revenues, where we expect an increase to over €8.3 billion. Our ratio of net commissions to total revenues is expected to improve to approximately 40%. We expect our cost income ratio to fall below 40%, and our CET1 ratio will stand at a robust level of above 14.5%. Let's move on to the next page, where we show how our volumes will grow. On this slide, you have a snapshot of our key volume drivers, both on and off balance sheet, together with our asset quality projections for 2028. Net customer loans will increase to over €140 billion with CAGR of 3% between 25 and 2028. Our total financial assets will be growing at around 2.9% per annum. Out of this, asset under management will increase from €106 billion to approximately €125 billion, equivalent to a growth rate of 5.7% per annum. Risk-weighted assets will increase in line with our loan book at 3.4% per annum. Thanks to our conservative risk approach, asset quality measured as net NP ratio will remain among the lowest in the Italian banking sector, with an NP ratio of 1.2%, while the coverage ratio is planned at above 53%, among the best levels in Italy. And finally, let's move to the next slide, where we focus on our shareholder remuneration, which will be higher and sustainable. Thanks to the further acceleration we are foreseeing, not only we confirm, but we also improve our expectations on the overall shareholders' remuneration for the three-year period. Thanks to the solidity of our balance sheet, we expect to deliver sustainable yearly distributions, including buybacks, of 85% between 2025 and 2028, distributing approximately 7.5 billion euros. Of this amount, dividend totaling 1.4 billion euros have been distributed for financial year 2025, translating into a payout ratio of 75%. Including the authorized buyback and accrued dividend for first half 2026, distribution to shareholders amounts to 3.1 billion euros. Further shareholder remuneration may arise should the bank generate excess capital. Let me reiterate that yesterday, the board agreed on the proposal to discuss at the next board meeting, scheduled for Q3 results, the distribution of an interim dividend of approximately 700 million euros. Let's move to my closing remarks. In conclusion, let me remark the five key messages I would like you to bring home today. B:Dynamic is over-delivering on promises with commission growth and efficiency gains well ahead of schedule already at the end of the first year, while preserving our capital strength and progressing steadily on our modernization. We have achieved a record semester with over 1.3 billion euros adjusted net profit, equivalent to a 15% year-on-year growth. Thanks to the integration of BPSO, we have now built a stronger platform ready to scale further, deliver enhanced growth, and capture organic and inorganic opportunities. We see potential for an acceleration beyond B:Dynamic, with five strategic areas driving stronger results in 2028. This will allow us to accelerate performance, sustain our value creation, and deliver attractive shareholder remuneration with 7.5 billion euros throughout 2025-2028 through a combination of cash dividends and share buyback. Our strong capital position will enable us to evaluate higher shareholders' remuneration if the conditions allow it. We believe that these projections are a substantial acceleration that we consider, in our style, ambitious but realistic. I wish to thank you for your attention, and we are now ready to take your questions.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. I remind you that it is reserved for analysts only. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. To remove your question, press star and two. The first question comes from Ignacio Ulargui of BNP Paribas.
Thanks very much. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for the presentation and for taking my questions. I have two, if I may. The first one is on the revenue targets for the business plan, particularly focused on fee income and other non-interest income revenues. I mean, the targets that you have provided look to me a bit like a floor, given the track record that you have delivered so far. Do you see them in general as such, or do you think that there is an aggressive stance in terms of the outlook? The second one is on capital. You have announced today that you are unwinding the TRS for 7.95% of your own shares. Could you help us to understand how this will interplay with the buyback announced and whether we should expect some new announcement in terms of buybacks in 27 and whether these shares will be cancelled potentially? Thank you.
Thank you, Ignacio, for the question. So, revenues. You know, our style is to be conservative. I think that the projections we are showing are important. We have both on the NII and on the commission income a clear path ahead of us. The projection on NII, for instance, the projection assumes an ECB deposit rate at 2.25, and obviously we have also the possibility, in case interest rates go up, to have a better situations. And in as much as commission are concerned, I would not consider this as the floor, but again, we prefer to be conservative. But the growth we projected in the first 18 months of the plan show you already the path that we are following. We are already very advanced compared to what we promised with B-Dynamic, which means that, you know, we will be pushing even more on that. In as much as the TRS, we have not announced any unwinding of the TRS. We have announced that we are stopping the TRS, and therefore, you know, whatever information related to the TRS, whatever actions we will be taking on the TRS will be obviously informed at a later stage if and when we will take a further step in terms of that. In as much as the share buyback is concerned, we have announced also that we have been authorized by the board to start the share buyback. The share buyback will start immediately after the summer. This is because usually in summer the market is less receptive to transactions of this kind. In any event, the launch of the share buyback will be preceded by an official announcement in accordance with the applicable legal requirements, obviously including all necessary information and disclosures.
The next question comes from Noemi Peruch of Morgan Stanley.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for taking my question. I would like to ask if you could share your thoughts on the recently announced evolution in the M&A scene in Italy and the potential opportunity for BPER. I would like to ask whether you could consider using the shares underlying the share buyback and the TRS to fund M&A potentially. You mentioned that you stopped the share buyback, the TRS, but you have not, but without unwinding it. What's the difference between the two? Thank you.
Thank you, Noemi, for the question. So if I understand correctly, your first question relates to the MPS possible deal. So what the development of the M&A in Italy. Did I got correctly? Because I was not hearing fine your question. Am I right?
Yeah. In general, the evolution of M&A and if this could present an opportunity for you.
Yeah, well, it's a matter of fact that the evolution is, you know, we have a lot of moving parts still now on the M&A activity in Italy. There are a lot of ongoing developments. Some are, I would say, clearer as we go ahead. Some others are not really clear in what will be the final realization of this transaction. So it's a matter of fact that, we are looking at a further consolidation of the Italian market, but if you recall, it's a couple of years that I'm saying that in Italy, banks need scale to support the Italian economy, being Italy the second manufacturer of Europe, and the scale and the size of the banks so far were not really helping the Italian economy in developing. So let's see what the development of these actions will give us in the near future, I believe. In as much as your second question is concerned, we have started the buyback because we got the approval and so on and so forth. We are not considering to use these shares for any kind of transaction. So far, we don't have. We might be part of the consolidation we were discussing before. Everybody read about the possible the agreement between Intesa and Unipol, but we will analyze the situation if and when I would say this will be presented to us. And in as much as the TRS is concerned, we have stopped the TRS, which doesn't necessarily mean the unwinding of the TRS. Stopping means that we are blocking basically our exposure to the TRS at the current level, which at the end of July last was at 7.95%. So we could keep this position going forward. You know that our TRS has a maturity of 3 years, so it would be expiring in 2028, basically. If the decision and the board will decide, we will do something and we start unwinding. But for the time being, no decision taken.
Thank you. And the underlying shares of the TRS, could that grant you some optionality?
Oh, the buyback, you mean, right?
The TRS.
No, TRS, no optionality for the simple reason that is a cash transaction. And being a cash transaction, the only situation that will develop is that when we'll unwind the TRS, depending on the valuation of the stock, we will be receiving cash or will be paying cash. But no optionality attached to that. No share delivery.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Sophie Petersens of Goldman Sachs.
Yeah, hi. Here is Sophie from Goldman Sachs. Thanks a lot for taking my question. So you very helpfully guide for around 3% CAGR loan growth going forward. Could you maybe just discuss what dynamics you're seeing both on the lending and deposit side? How much competition is there? Is there any pricing pressure either on the lending side or the deposit side? How you kind of see growth opportunities here? And then my second question would be on Unipol and Bpro. You have helpfully the slide on Unipol, but could you maybe discuss how the potential transaction is going to work if Unipol acquires the branches from MPS and kind of how potentially you could further strengthen your relationship with Unipol? If you could discuss that. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for your question. So in as much as the development of lending and deposits is concerned, you have seen in the numbers that were presented today that our growth in lending keeps on track on the promise that we made and what we have indicated back in October 2024, a 3% growth CAGR, and we are projecting this growth also up to 2028. We have 6 million customers. We are one of the largest, if not the largest player in terms of mortgages, for instance, on the retail side. We are expanding our business on the consumer finance and on the salary-backed or pension-backed financing. For the consumer financing, as you know, we are operating exclusively with our existing customers in order to be also very safe in terms of risk associated to this kind of business. In terms of corporate, it's a matter of fact that since the inception of our B-Dynamic 2027, we have strengthened our positioning on the market in terms of corporate, on all the different areas of corporate, including also CIB, where we are now very active in arranging deals, transactions, structuring, financing for our customers. And this is also witnessed by the strong increase in commission driven by this sort of activity. So we will be growing and we will keep on capturing and increasing our market share in this particular, both on, as I mentioned, retail and corporate, on the corporate side. Obviously, there is a lot of competition. So, as such, every day there is a bank that is trying to, get deals and offer better prices both on the deposit side and on the loan side. Nevertheless, if you see also, in as much as the TFAs is concerned, total financial assets, you see that we are constantly grow. You see flat deposits, but the deposits are flat because we are converting deposits into UC, AUM, and increasing also the loans to our customers. So we keep on growing, and we will keep on growing in that direction. In terms of the possible deal, which is becoming more probable than possible, so looking at what the newspaper are today indicating, these days are indicating, I would say that the plan that were presented and the levers of acceleration that were presented remain focused on our current perimeter. We have created a very strong platform ready to capture growth opportunities, both organic, as I mentioned before, and inorganic, through opportunities that might arise in the market. In as much as Unipol is concerned, Unipol for us is a very good long-term strategic shareholder, is a key partner in bancassurance that for us is a core growth business. We have existing agreements on commercial partnership, and this independently from any hypothetical consolidation scenario. Obviously, we will be assessing future opportunities with the usual discipline approach and, as usual, in the best interest of all stakeholders. So we will analyze this once we have a clear indication of the perimeter that will be offered to BPER, and only at that time we will have clearer picture of numbers and so on and so forth. That to say that so far we are not discussing with Unipol, because obviously the main transaction is Intesa on Monte dei Paschi, and from there everything will derive.
Thank you.
The next question is from Marco Nicolai of Jefferies.
Good morning. I've got a couple of questions. The first one is if you could help me reconcile the 7.5 billion distributions with the more than 85% payout ratio, because I'm struggling a bit to get there. So based on my numbers, I don't even reach your previous 75% dividend payout ratio for the next few years, given what you have already announced for 25, the dividend, and also including the 750 million buyback. So can you give us, please, some color on this? How's the 85% payout divided in the various years? And shall we assume that the dividend payout remains at 75% plus the 750 million you're going to deliver in terms of buyback? Perhaps the answer could be in the profit, so in the net profit evolution. So if you can give us some color also on the net profit evolution between 25 and 28. So this is the first question. And the second question is on this potential transaction offered by Unipol. So I understand that, after all, that's not certain yet. However, you already have an idea of what could be the perimeter and what would be the expense broadly related to that perimeter. So my question is, how do you intend to pay, and would be a good idea to ramp up buybacks in order to pay for that, given that the time frame is pretty clear now, and in order to approve, to get the buybacks approved by the ECB and your shareholders, it takes some time. Why you're not being beforehand more aggressive on the buyback plan, preparing for that transaction? Or do you plan to pay for that perimeter issuing new shares? Because there is a big difference in terms of EPS accretion. Thank you.
So thank you for the question. I take the second one, and the first one will be answered by Simone Marcucci, our CFO. So let's put it in this way. The information we have so far and the information that everybody read on the newspaper, we do know, yes, that 635 branches will be transferred to us in case the deal goes through and in case the board of directors and the extraordinary shareholders meeting of BPER will approve it. And attached to the 635 branches, they will be part of the head office of Monte dei Paschi. But we don't know, and that's why I cannot give any indication in this particular case, where these branches are rightly located. So we have a rough idea, and this is what has been announced by the CEO of Intesa that was giving some indication, but we don't have a specific indication of where do they stand. We don't know exactly how many people will be transferred to us. We don't know where these people are working, whether in the branches who are commercial, very busy in commercial activities, or are part of an office. And therefore, you know, it is very difficult to assess the numbers beyond the numbers that have been given to the press. So it is, if it goes through and when it will go through, is a good transaction for us because this will enable us to further strengthen our position in Italy. We could be even bigger, we will be even bigger than what will be. We understand that there will be a kind of a couple of million more customers coming to us, which, you know, is a further acceleration of our activity. But, you know, it's very difficult today to dwell into numbers and specific, you know, indications of the transaction. And we will be able to do that only when we will have a clear understanding of the situation. In as much as how the transaction will be performed, reading, you know, the news, basically is these branches will be sold to Unipol. Unipol will then approach BPER, offering this branch to us, and paid in the branches as a capital increase, a contribution for capital increase of BPER. So there's nothing we are going to pay with the shares that are coming from the buyback. So this is something that Unipol will be offering, and if approved by the extraordinary shareholders meeting, is a contribution in kind for a capital increase of Unipol. In this way, Unipol will avoid, if everything is approved, the whitewashing and the need for an offering for the total shares of BPER. These are the information I have, and for the time being, I'm not in a position to give any other details.
And I so you exclude basically using the shares that you've already bought, and you will keep on, and won't cancel. You won't use basically the shares to pay for the perimeter at all.
No, this is an option that has never been discussed, and I, frankly speaking, I cannot give you an answer whether I'm excluded or not, bearing in mind that if everything progresses the way it is, this is something that will happen in 1.5 to 2 years from now, because, you know, everybody has to go through different authorization. So we'll have first Intesa that has to go through the authorization from the regulators, all the regulators involved. I read somewhere for over 40 regulators. Then will be Unipol that has to go through regulators, and then it's BPER that has to go through regulators to get the approval. Therefore, you know, we're not talking about a transaction that will happen in the next 3 to 6 months, but something that will take time, and I believe quite a long time to get through.
Okay,
I put through Simone for the other question.
Thank you very much for the question. So the assumption that we have in our plan is a dividend. I go for accrual for competence, not for cash. We have a dividend 2025, you have seen 75, in 26, 77, in 27, 79, in 28, 81%, plus the 750 million already approved of buyback, we arrive more than 85%. Clearly, everything is calculated on the stated net profit. Yeah. The only difference, therefore, that there are between these figures and your hypothesis calculation could be in the, let me say, not aggressive plan as mentioned before by the CEO, and this could be only the delta that could be between us and you.
Sorry. Okay, understood. Thank you.
The next question is from Lorenzo Giacometti of Intermonte.
Yes, hi, thank you. Thank you for taking my question and thank you for the presentation. I just got one question on one follow-up basically on the payout policy. I mean, you also cited in the presentation about potential excess capital return. I mean, in this potential scenario, shall we expect the excess capital to be returned via additional share buybacks or through potentially higher cash dividends? And then I have basically another one, which is more of a strategical one. How much, I mean, of the earnings growth embedded in your plan or in your 2028 targets is still driven by the BPSO integration? And by that, I mean potential additional synergies you may try to extract, or are more related to the five initiative you just presented. Thank you.
So thank you. You know, we mentioned that given our strong capital position, if, as we believe, we'll be able to keep on generating such a strong organic capital generation, we'll be in a position to evaluate higher shareholders remuneration if the conditions allow it. Because obviously we are talking today about something happening in the future. We need to analyze what the macroeconomic situation, the geopolitical situation, and so on and so forth will be when this will happen. I cannot tell you today whether this will be more on cash or share buyback, because this is a decision that is taken by the board on a yearly basis, differently from the past, where we were paying only, there was only a cash out. We already mentioned that we are going to increase the total return, distribution to our shareholders, reaching 85%, might be also be increased on at a different level and higher level if the conditions allow it, and this will be cash out and buys back. The proportion between the two will be decided at a later stage. In as much as your second question is concerned, we have always said that the 290 million synergies, 190 million cost synergies and 100 million revenue synergies will be delivered by 2027. These are the synergies on BPSO integration, and we believe that this is a very large amount given the short period of time through which we'll be delivering this. 25% of the synergies, more than 25%, will be delivered in 26 and the remaining part in 2027. Then you have seen that we are mentioning in the for the year 28 that we will have a reduction in cost reduction of 300 million euros. These 300 million euros include the 190 million euros of synergies, plus some additional synergies coming from BPSO integration that, you know, will be delivered in 2028, together with other initiatives in cost reduction that we're going to have in that year. The same works for revenues. Revenues, we indicated 100 million euro by 2027. We have a strong increase in revenues in 2028. Obviously, part of this increase in revenues comes from additional synergy that we'll be able to deliver from the integration of Sondrio. Let me give you an example about that. You know that BPER on standalone basis had a much stronger commercial activity than BPSO in terms of cross-selling activities, to the point that if you were looking at the commission on total revenues, the percentage of commission total revenues, in the first quarter of this year, BPER standalone had reached 39.8%. The number we are figuring now, we are indicating today, is 35.something%. Why? Because incorporating BPSO, obviously we have incorporated a lower percentage of commission on total revenues. We see already good activity, commercial activity, coming from the integrated branches of former BPSO. But obviously it will take longer time than December 27 to be able to bring the branches of former BPSO up to the same level of commission creation of the BPSO branches. That's why also the growth in revenues that we see in 28 include additional revenue synergies coming from the integration of BPSO. Plus, we will have some other initiatives that will create further growth.
Okay, thank you. Very clear.
The next question comes from Giovanni Razzoli of Deutsche Bank.
Good morning to everybody. I have three questions. The first one is a clarification. Is the share buyback of 750 million finalized to cancellation of the shares? If you can please clarify this point. The second question is on your CET1 ratio in 2029, the 14.5%. Shall I read this as a managerial ambition? That is, this is the level of CET1 you plan to run BPER in the next couple of years, or is the simply the CET1 ratio that will result after the return earnings and the organic capital generation? And so in that case, what would be the level of CET1 ratio that you see as optimal for a group like BPER? And another question is on something that has not been touched yet, but has surprised me in this call, that is the manifestation of interest for part of the businesses of BFF. I struggle to understand the rationale of such a manifestation of interest for two businesses like payments and custodian, which require a scale. So I would like you to elaborate a bit on this, what is reported on the press release. Thank you.
Okay, so 750 million euros buyback. We have not yet finalized the cancellation. We are starting in September, as I mentioned, after summer, I would say, the buyback. It will take some time to do it, and then we will see what to do. We will follow the market practice. In any case, as I mentioned several times also in previous call, this is a decision that has to be taken by the board, and we will, when the interest of the shareholders of the bank will be for that, we will decide what to do with this, with the shares coming from the buyback. In terms of CET1 ratio, the numbers that we said, more than 15.5% CET1 ratio, this is coming from the simple translation of the numbers of the growth of the bank. You know, I think that we could work with a CET1 ratio of at 13%, which I think would be a right level, considering also the asset quality we have, considering the large amount of provisioning we have, and therefore, you know, I think that we could go with that. But you know that we have a conservative approach. You know that in the past, having such a strong capital allowed us to be quick in reacting to market movement and, you know, being able to go to the market, as in the case of Sondrio, acquire a bank. So, you know, we keep always an optionality in having an higher capital, an higher CET1 ratio. Having said so, I also mentioned that if we see that optionalities are no more there and we keep on generating such a strong organic capital generation, if the condition allows us, will increase the distribution to our shareholders. In terms of BFF, first and foremost, we have just issued a non-binding expression of interest, so it's non-binding an expression of interest. I see an industrial, reason to do this transaction. We are interested only in the an acquisition of the part related to payments and depository bank businesses. You know that we have an asset management company. This could be. We have within our BPER, we acquired through BIPSO already a custodian activity, because BIPSO had a custodian activity which could be integrated. So it's just an expression of interest that we'll be analyzing, but industrially for us it makes sense to have such a, I think we will be bringing into the group an additional product factory, but only related to these two activities, no interest at all for whatever is related to factoring, lending, and so on and so forth.
Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Lisi of Equita.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. Sorry, but I want to come back to the target of cumulative dividend 2025-28 of 7.5, because it's not clear to me also the answer that you provided before. If I try to reconcile, I have 7.5 target, we can subtract the 1.4 billion that have already been distributed in 2025. We subtract 700 million of share buyback and we get to 5.4 billion. If we apply the payout of 85, means that the cumulative net profit will be 7.4 billion, that divided by 3 makes 2.1 billion per year, that is clearly way below your indication and target. So I'm struggling a bit on this, and so if you can help us and indicating what does not come, what is not correct in this calcs. The second question is a clarification. So you have at the beginning you have indicated your ambitions regarding NII and fees, considering that they're not a floor, that you use a prudent approach. But anyway, I want to focus on other income. In 2025, there were 450 million. In the plan, you're targeting 300 million. Can you explain us the reason for this decline? There is any reason for that? Another is if you have also adopted some conservative approach on cost, and so if you think you can retain some margins should the revenues not perform as targeted in the plan. Thank you.
So, Andrea, thank you very much for your questions. Now, Simone will enter into the details of the buyback. Just one notion. We paid this year 1.4 billion, that is the 75% payout ratio on the 2025 results. The 750 million buyback is on top of this. It's not deducted, because if I understood correctly, you said you deduct 750 million buyback. The 750 million this year is on top of the 1.4 billion that we paid already. And Simone, we go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Papa. So, as I mentioned, in 25, we have a 75%. I go by accrual, so therefore, we have the 75% dividend payout, that it means around 1.364 of dividends. In the following year, we will have a 77%, for example, in 26, plus the 750 million share buyback. In 27, we have 79%, in 28, we will have 81%, and mathematically, we arrive at the figures that is stated on the presentation. I don't know if there is some hypothesis, maybe we can clarify in a separate call later on, but it's mathematical effect. In relation to the other revenues in the plan, excluding the interest margin and the commission, yes, compared to 2025, we have clearly a decrease because we have to take in account that in 25 there were some one-off, for example, the FTD effects, and clearly these are not repeatable like other effects, and therefore in the plan, yes, in other revenues, not commission, not interest margin, we have taken a conservative approach and you have a lower amount compared to the 2025.
So, in as much as last your question is concerned, Andrea, cost, I think that we have indicated that by 2029 we'll be below 40%, which I think is already an extremely good target for our bank, because first we should understand and recall where we were coming from. In 22, if I recall correctly, we were at 62%. Today we close the quarter at 38 point something for a total of 41.8 or 42.3, 4.4 if we exclude the TRS. And we are projecting to be at 40% by 28 and below 40% in 2029. Obviously, as shown in the last few years, if the macroeconomic situation worsens, and therefore there will be more difficult to reach revenues that we have indicated, we'll have all the tools in our hands to stay at this 40-ish percentage point of cost in order to have a 40% cost income ratio. So we are really monitoring constantly the costs. There are costs that are, you know, could be really further reduced, as we have shown, that are the other costs. In as much as HR cost is concerned, obviously, yeah, there's much less that you can do because it goes with, contract and so on and so forth. But, the target for us anyway is to be below 40% by 2029 or at around 40% in 2028.
Thank you. Just to be completely clear, so 2028 payout will not be 85%, will be 81, correct?
Yes, it will be 81. The 85 is the average of the whole 4 years.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Luis Pratas of Autonomous Research.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions. I also have a few clarifications on the capital trajectory. Could you please confirm what's the threshold for any excess capital distribution? Is it 14.5% or is it higher than that? Then maybe could you also comment on any expected tailwinds, headwinds, on capital across the plan, stuff outside of the organic capital generation, so be it the DTAs, SRTs, or anything, extraordinary, let's say. Then also to make sure I understand, so you plan to accrue those amounts that you just mentioned, so it's not 85% then. When do you actually get 85% distribution accrual? And then my second question is again returning on the BFF transaction. Maybe could you also comment on, you know, what's the expected level of CET1 impact that you are expecting at this stage? Do you think this can be a cash-only transaction, or maybe do you need to fund it with equity? And a bit more in general, like in terms of your M&A targets, like, do you have any minimum objectives, for instance, like a return on investment thresholds or like any EPS accretion goal? Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. We don't have a threshold for of CET1 ratio capital for returning to shareholders as dividend part of this. As I said, we will be analyzing the situation when it will happen, and if we see that we have such a strong organic generation, we are going to increase the payout to our shareholder, distribution to our shareholders. As we have been doing so far, or what we're projecting now, because it's true that you are not looking at, you're saying you'll never reach the 85%. But if you add to the 75% dividend payout for 2025 that we paid in April this year, May this year, so the 75%, you add the 750 million euros of buyback, you will see that the distribution for 2025 in 2026 goes up to 113%, I think, something like that. So if you take this into consideration, you will see that with the increase in distribution that has been indicated by Simone, so the 77%, 79%, and 81%, with the inclusion of the 750 million buyback, it goes up to, for the period 2025-2028, to 85%. So we don't see any tailwind for capital in the point that there's no DTAs, and I don't know if you have to give-
And we have, like in the previous plan, clearly, we have the securitization plan for 2027, 2028, 3 billion risk-weighted asset release.
In as much as your question for BFF is too early to say, we have, as I said, sent a non-binding expression of interest that has been submitted to BFF Bank today. This will allow us to go through the due diligence. We will analyze the situation. We'll see, you know, whether, you know, there is the possibility of buying only these two business of BFF. BFF, I understand, came out with the information saying that they are not going to sell piece by piece, but to have a, you know, somebody going for the overall business. Obviously, we'll have to team up with somebody who is interested in buying the factoring business and whatever lending activity they have. But today, we don't have further information. It's something that we will look at, and this non-binding expression allows us to start a due diligence and then to finalize in case an offer, and only at that time we'll see how much it's gonna cost and how we are going to pay for it.
Thank you.
The next question is from Hugo Cruz of KBW.
Hi, thank you. So two questions. So on the capital, costs, OpEx, if you could just clarify, after 2028, would there still be more cost synergies to come from the BPCO side or not? Or like you'll be done. And then, on capital, so, can you clarify if there are any, you know, model adjustments to come, again, on the BPCO side? You know, you mentioned securitizations, you mentioned DTAs, but model adjustments, I guess, is the other topic that still need to be discussed. And also, could you consider using the Danish Compromise to facilitate the deal with Unipol, if you thought about it? Thank you.
So after 28, I think that we'll not any more synergies coming from Banca Popolare di Sondrio. As I mentioned, on the cost side, 190 million by 2027, additional one by 2028. In fact, the part of this 300 million that I've indicated. So after 28, we'll have already in a way exhausted all the possible synergies with BPSO. The same for capital, so there's no other additional capital that can be extracted from BPSO. Whatever was possible to be done has been done. No Danish compromise, because this probable deal of Intesa will go through, and then between Intesa and Unipol, we're talking about bank branches, so not insurance business, and this does not require any Danish compromise. So what will happen is that, as far as we understand, Unipol will offer BPER to acquire the 635 branches or so that they've bought from, they will buy from Intesa. And this relates only to banking business and not insurance business.
Thank you.
Mr. Spunghi, gentlemen, there are no questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you all for participating. Good, thank you.